Hi, welcome to the program. It's great. Oh, my God. I've just noticed my pants are on backwards again.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Oh, boy.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
How does this happen all the time?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I've got to remember, the zipper goes in the front.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Hi, welcome to the program. You would think after all these years I'd know how to dress properly. Just yesterday I figured out, you know, it's not that easy to put your pants on over your head. Just do it from the bottom up. And like, wow, why haven't I been doing that all my life? Yesterday's show, I was quite serious about my disdain for the person in the White House. So I had made a promise to you yesterday that I was going to make today's show light and fluffy, similar to an inedible omelet. And that's what I'm going to do. As a matter of fact, I was watching TV yesterday. Oh, really, Ron? Is that so different than any other day or minute in your life? No, it's not. Okay, stop it. Stop it. I love the way I argue with myself. I get into confrontations and I always win because I'm always like against myself. So if I lose, I win. If I win, I lose. It's beautiful. I'm watching television and they had a on the television set. There was a show about Pink Floyd and the album Dark Side of the Moon. I don't know how old you are. I have no idea. I mean, there are a lot of you listening here, and you're all different ages, and you come from all different places in the country. I can't group you. I can't group you into one little group. But I'll tell you something. When I was alive, I feel like I'm doing my eulogy. When I was alive, the greatest musical achievement of all time, as far as I'm concerned, was not P. Diddy. It was not. It was Pink Floyd. Dark Side of the Moon. To me, that was the greatest achievement in music ever. The Beatles did some incredible stuff, but nothing came close to the intricacy of this particular musical piece, Dark Side of the Moon. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. Some of my listeners are quite young, and may I say, I've heard of that. I think I recall the cover, but no, I never really listened to the whole thing. Well, let me tell you something. Do it. Listen to it. It has nothing to do with your age or what generation you came from or anything like that. It is just a musical masterpiece that was somehow blessed. And I'm not a religious man, but there was blessing going on. As I'm watching this one-hour documentary about how they made this particular album that is so revered, the musicians, the creators, kept saying it was, we did it all in one take. We just sat down and we did it, and we did many, many takes, but we always use the first one because the first ones, every single time on every song, were magical. It was like something was happening. Something that we hadn't even planned just came out in the music, and we all looked at each other when we were finished with almost every song and said, how do we do that? That was incredible. That's magic. And if you listen to this album from beginning to end, you'll understand its simplicity, yet its complexities. It's an amazing piece. And of all the songs on this particular album, Dark Side of the Moon, they don't even call things that anymore. There was one song that just personally blew me away in its perfection, and every time I hear it, I get chills, and I'm going to play that song for you today. It's called Great Gig in the Sky, and we'll play that. Also on the show today, we're going to be speaking to a guest that is going to be quite interesting. She has done extensive research and interviews and stuff to put her book together. And it's called The Secret Life of the Cheating Wife. It's not a novel about some suburban housewife that cheats on her husband. It is an in-depth look and study about why women cheat on their husbands. I don't even know why men cheat on their wives, but this is even takes it a step further. The realizations are just incredible in this book, and I'm looking forward to speaking to her toward the end of the program today. Now, all in all, ladies and gentlemen, I think I have set up a wonderful entertainment entity for you today because you deserve some great entertainment, and only I, as the genius of radio, the most stable person in the world in radio, can offer this to you. All right, it was a reference, and I apologize for that. I promised I would not make references of that sense. But I indeed,
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Sometimes, not a lot. Okay, let's do this. Entertainment today more than comments, okay? This is Great Gig in the Sky. This is Pink Floyd. They sat down and they did this thing. It was just supposed to be a little celestial jam piece, and they called in this woman. This is Great Gig in the Sky. It starts out kind of slow for about 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and then all of a sudden it kicks in to this incredible performance by Claire Torrey. Claire Torrey was a studio singer that they had just called in to kind of kick the thing up. They played the tracks, and then she sat down and she sang along to this, totally improvised, totally unrehearsed. It was a one-take thing, and when it was over, everybody looked at each other and said, what just happened here? That was freaking incredible, and they never changed it. When this thing kicks in after about 40 seconds, you'll understand why this is like a miracle of music. This is Great Gig in the Sky, Pink Floyd.
Thank you. right, you gotta move sometime.
We'll be right back with our guest right after these words.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Did I show you a picture of my dog? There's a commercial on television. I've talked about this before. Every time it comes on, I change the channel. And it's horrendously awful. I think it's some singer there. I don't know her name. And she's singing about how horrible dogs are treated in places where dogs are treated horribly. And they have these videos of dogs with half of their hair missing and a cleft chin. And, you know, they have commercials about children in third world countries who haven't eaten, and you can see their bones sticking through their skin and all that. And I feel real bad about that, and that makes me sick too. But when they have the commercial about the sick-looking dogs, and you're supposed to help these little dogs live by making donations and stuff, it's the dog commercials that really bother me. The children commercials, they bother me too. But for some sick unknown reason, the sick dogs make me more uncomfortable. And every time I watch this, they're like, what's wrong with me? Why do the sick dogs make me sadder than the sick children? It's an oddity, and I must admit it. Do you find that to be true?
Aww.
No, you don't. You know, no, you don't. No, you don't. No. No, I don't think you do. It's time to speak to our guest. This is fascinating. I'm telling you it's fascinating, therefore it shall be. It shall be. Sounds like a great name for a kid, doesn't it? Shall be. People call their kids Shelby. She shall be the most wonderful thing walking the planet. That's what she shall be. Let's call her Shelby. Strange name for children, huh? Shelby. Did you ever meet a child named Gertrude? Gertrude is a name that's reserved for people that are over 80 years old. There's certain names that really fit the elderly really well, and yet young kids and teenagers should never be called these names ever. It's like you shouldn't be naming these people until they turn 80, and then it's fitting. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Aww.
No, that's the wrong reaction. Anyway, let's speak to our guest, Alicia Walker, about women who cheat. And by the way, can I get a list of those women and their phone numbers? Only kidding. Alicia Walker joins us now. She's a sociologist and researcher, and she's written The Secret Life of the Cheating Wife, Power, Pragmatism, and Pleasure in Women's Infidelity. How are you, Alicia?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much. Interesting book, different viewpoint. I guess the immediate question that I have is, this is about infidelity initiated by the woman, and in our sexist society, it's only the men that do this, I suppose, or at least that's all we talk about. has this been going on forever, and now we're just talking about it, or is this indeed a shift in attitude?
That's a great question. There's some debate about that. Some folks would say there's been this increase in participation because of, more opportunities, women being in the workplace more, having more financial equity, if you will. Others would say it's not really an increase in participation at all. It's just an increase in reporting.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is there's no real way for us to be sure which is going on, but you do have to ask yourself, who have these men been cheating with all along, right?
Yeah. Well, true. Well, that's a good point, actually. You know, you never think about it on the other side of the coin, do you? That's very
right.
True. I don't know necessarily why a man would do infidelity. I assume there are various reasons, such as not getting the attention that they need, becoming disinterested and bored in what they have and going on to the next conquer. I have no idea. But when we're talking about empowerment in the sense of women, are we talking about the sense that they're saying, well, enough is enough. I'm going to go do what I want because I can?
Not really so much in that sense. You're right that when we think about power and empowerment, that is the kind of lens that we have about it. But when we're looking at power in terms of women, we kind of have to shift our definition a little bit. We have to think about power not in terms of power over someone else, but in power over ourselves.
Right.
And having power over myself as a sexual being, having autonomy over that, is in fact a form of power. And that's the kind of power these women were talking about.
Okay.
Having the power to make decisions about who am I going to have sex with? What kind of sex am I going to have? How much sex am I going to have? And in the power and freedom to be able to enact different selves, if you will. You know, sometimes the roles that we play in life, husband, wife, mother, etc., can be very limiting and constraining. And for these women anyway, affairs were a way to sort of circumvent those roles and enact other facets of themselves.
Having an affair is a very busy thing. It's very, no, it really is. I mean, I've had one in my life that I'll talk about, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and I think a lot of people at a point say it's too much work. I'm tired. I just don't want. I'm serious.
I believe you.
Maybe I'm lazy. I don't know. I have no idea. But is it a time situation, or is it something that one gets swept into? Let me ask you that. In the research that you've been doing in the interviews, were women swept into these situations, or it's something that they sought?
That's a great question. The particular women I spoke to, no, that was not the situation. Okay. Although you're right, that happens, right? Mm-hmm. People fall into affairs, they happen into them, an opportunity comes up, they act, right? These women, that was not the situation. They had, after spending years, sometimes decades, in what I would deem a sexual desert, if you will, made a very practical decision. You know, either I'm going to have to leave this marriage and go get my needs met in a new relationship, or I'm going to have to find some way to get these needs met. They were basically cheating to stay, if you will. Right. And they did not make these decisions lightly. They spent a very long time making these decisions and coming to it from a very practical, logical sort of standpoint. And they made a decision to go online and put up a profile and seek out an affair. So none of them fell into it, no. That's a great question, though.
Your original point was very interesting, and I don't know how I didn't think of it myself. As the president says, I'm a genius and I know everything. But for a man to have an affair, there has to be a woman involved, you know, if we're going in that direction. So I guess I can't be surprised about the flip side. Are we talking about who instigates this? I mean, why would this be a revelation if affairs always involved a man and a woman cheating?
That's a good question. And that was one of the questions I had when I came into this. You know, when we look at data like that, I had always asked myself that question. You know, when we're talking about heterosexual affairs, right? Who are these people having affairs with? We're not talking about one woman servicing hundreds of men, right? That's not how this is working. Well,
it's possible, and vice versa.
Right, okay. But unlikely, right? Probably not the situation.
Unlikely.
But yeah, we make these assumptions that this is the domain of men. This is something men do. This is what they're interested in, not what women are interested in. We assume men are doing all of the initiating, but that's certainly not what I found at all.
So is it safe to say that not to cheat and stand up and say, no, I'm not getting it from you, so I'll get it where I need it for whatever reason that may be? In that sense of empowerment, are we talking about an equality where In other words, if you don't have an affair and you're a woman in a marriage, then you're too scared to go do it because that's not your role to go out and cheat. Are we talking about that inequality?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Could it be a role where previously the woman was not to go out and have an affair publicly because that was not their role? A man is the loose one. The man is the one that goes out with his club like a caveman and hits a woman over the head and drags her into the cave. Was it that kind of role playing that we're knocking down?
No, I don't think that's really no.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to say no. Okay. Sorry.
It's all right.
Well, and you have to also think that these women aren't publicly having an affair.
They're very discreet
about what they're doing. That's part of why they're going online. That's part of why they're using a website like Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
Because they're looking to try to keep this discreet. They're trying to protect their families. Their husbands have no idea what's going on.
Right.
So there's really nothing public about what's happening at all, which is another reason we have to think this probably has been going on. This probably isn't something new. People keep things private, you know. It's probably harder to keep things private now in the digital age, you know, than it has ever been. But that's a benefit of them going online. You think if she gets involved with a coworker, if she falls into something, as you talked about earlier, coworker, neighbor, whatever, then her risk of detection has now skyrocketed. Right.
Yes.
And when that ends, and it probably is going to end at some point or another, he's this constant threat in her life. So she's not really doing anything public. If anything, she's going out of her way to make sure it's not public.
Yeah. But the bottom line is the female is saying or demonstrating that, I mean, why should I do anything different than what a man does with his sexuality and how he handles his sexual needs? What's so different about a woman? You know, why can't I do that too?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to act like they're very different things, that somehow women are not supposed to have these needs or they're not supposed to act on them. But you're absolutely right. What is different?
You know, it's very interesting because when somebody cheats on somebody else, the immediate reaction by the person that's cheated on is hurt and anger. But there's always a revelation, I think, that comes at afterwards and says, well, maybe I wasn't treating the other person right. Maybe I wasn't fulfilling their needs. Maybe I should be doing that and things would be okay. It's a far smack in the face demonstration that you're not providing something that the other person needs.
Often that's the case.
Often.
Yes,
but and then of course there's the roving person that can't keep it in their pants.
Well, there's that. Yeah. We also have data that shows that often it's just the presence of an opportunity.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're human. We're all human. Is the point.
We are, yes.
Yes. It's The Secret Life of Cheating, of the Cheating Wife, Power, Pragmatism, and Pleasure in Women's Infidelity. Goes a lot deeper than what we were able to talk about in 10 minutes, and it's a fascinating book. And, it's great to talk about something like this because it just, you know, it does make you think, and it does make you aware of the other person and why people do things and if they can do things, and both sides are equally involved here. Thank you so much. How do we book Amazon bookstores?
Absolutely. You can find it in Amazon bookstores, the publisher's website, Lexington Books. You can also find it on my website, alicia-walker.com.
Perfect. You working on something else?
Yeah, I am actually. My next book will look at men's cheating.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'd be fascinated as to what the real reasons are. And I'm sure there are many, but there's probably some underlying ones that people don't even talk about.
Yes, there absolutely are. You're right about that.
Hey, pleasure speaking to you. Let's hook up when the other one comes out, please.
Great. Yes, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Alicia. Bye-bye. I told you that would be interesting, huh? Huh? Wow. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, sometimes you got to say to yourself, you know, you only live once. Experience everything. Then on the other hand, there's you only live once, and you're going to get screwed really bad if they find out. I don't know. It's kind of like an interesting conundrum. It's a conundrum. Conundrum. It's a good name for a kid, too. What's your kid's name? Is it Robert? No, it's Conundrum. We can't figure the damn thing out, so we thought that would be fitting. Anyway, that's about it for me today. I hope that you've had a great time, because I consider you to be one of my closest Facebook friends. Seriously. I haven't been on Facebook in over a week. I'm avoiding it. It comes up on my computer in the search bar up there, you know, what do you call that damn thing? I don't even know what I'm talking about with this computer shit. But it's there, you know, and if I click on it, it brings me to one of my many Facebook pages. I have too many Facebook accounts. Don't tell them, but I have more Facebook accounts than I'm supposed to have. And it's not because I love Facebook. It's because I open up these Facebook accounts and then I think I did it wrong. So I open up another one. But by the time I go to delete the first one that I didn't think I did right, I've already got like hundreds of friends. So I don't want to screw that up. Ron, why don't you just invite those friends to your new Facebook page? Because I don't do things like that. Because I'm Facebook illiterate. And I'll raise my hand so proudly. I'll raise it as high as my hand will go. To the point where you can't even high-five me if you wanted to. You can't reach me. That's how high my hand goes up when I admit that I don't know a damn thing about the Facebook thing. And I'm intimidated by it totally. Every time I go in there, I feel like I'm going to have an argument with somebody and someone's going to get hurt on my Facebook page. Yeah, I have thousands of friends. Not. My closest friend is some guy in Guatemala whose name I can't even pronounce, who I think is having some type of illicit affair or some type of sex with a mountain or something, or a mountain goat. I don't even know. I don't even know. His profile pictures freak me out. Well, Ron, then why'd you accept him as a friend? I don't know. Because he wanted to be my friend. So I figured, whoa, he must be desperate. I've probably been catfished 1,000 times and didn't even realize it, because I don't care. I don't talk to anybody on Facebook anyway. You catfish me as much as you want, I'm not going to respond. What's the point of that? All right, I'm out of time. This is getting ridiculous. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Join me tomorrow. Will you do that? Will you make the promise? Thank you.